Cluster B personality disorders are characterized by dramatic, overly emotional, and unpredictable thoughts and behavior. From Ars Longa Media, this is Cluster B, scientifically informed, expert insights into the four Cluster B personality types, antisocial, borderline, narcissistic, and histrionic personality disorder. Here's today's host, Dr. Todd Grande.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today's question asks so I can talk about nostalgia and mental health. I have some other questions related to this too, like what is nostalgia? Is there such a thing as pathological nostalgia? Is nostalgia different for people who are narcissistic or psychopathic? And another question here asks, what makes me nostalgic? I'll answer that at the end of the video because there's nothing scientific about my personal feelings of nostalgia. There are many definitions for the term nostalgia. Interestingly, for many years, nostalgia was conceptualized as negative. We see that it was viewed as a mental disorder, mostly some form of depression. We also see it was viewed as demonic possession, emotional immaturity, excessive dependence, a lack of mental firmness. Not exactly sure what that is, but that's in the literature. At one time, nostalgia was thought to be the same thing as homesickness. So soldiers would go and fight in foreign lands, and they would feel homesick, and this would lessen their combat effectiveness, so it was a major concern. So nostalgia has not been positively viewed for much of its history. Now, in more recent times, we see nostalgia as a normative desire to have a meaningful personal history. It's technically defined as a sentimental belonging or wistful affection for the past. It is considered universal. Everybody has it to some extent, and it's experienced across the lifespan. Some would argue that nostalgia infuses life with meaning. Now, nostalgic memories can be about a lot of different types of events and situations. Some common ones would be anniversaries, like wedding anniversaries, for example, an anniversary of working for a company for so many years, something like that. Graduations, like from trade school, high school, or college. Birthdays, but usually for the earlier birthdays, like 16 or 21. Romantic relationships, even those that did not persist, could be considered nostalgic. So a relationship that lasted for 6 months, it was a lot of fun, but it ended, right? So that could still be something that people kind of look on fondly. A time in one's life when a person was having financial success. And we also see something like a time in somebody's life when they were surrounded by a strong social network, like attending college and living in a dormitory. Nostalgia tends to be the most intense for events that were pleasant, irretrievably lost, temporally distant, so far in the past, and unique. Which makes sense considering they usually involve some sort of desire to return to the past or recapture a pleasant memory, if just for a moment. These times in a person's life can be brought to the forefront of one's memory through a number of triggers, including attending a class reunion, looking at a keepsake, like an old photograph, hearing a particular song, watching a particular movie. The weather can trigger nostalgic memories, as can scents, and really many different objects or situations, right? So it's a little bit different for everybody, but here we see a few kind of popular items. Let's look at some of the key aspects of nostalgia. Feelings of nostalgia are typically quite pronounced at age 20, and the feelings tend to decrease as somebody moves to age 50. Then after 50, the feelings start increasing again, and they gradually increase for the rest of the lifespan. Looking at the frequency of nostalgia, we see that over 50% of people will experience nostalgia at least once a week. 15% of people will have feelings of nostalgia at least once a day. Nostalgic memories are considered self-relevant. This means that the self is the protagonist in the nostalgic experience. People typically do not experience nostalgia on behalf of somebody else, like thinking about another person's wedding, graduation, or promotion at their job, and having a pleasant feeling because of that thought. Usually somebody would think about events more closely tied to their own lives. So when I talk about nostalgia here, I'm really talking about a personal nostalgia, which should be distinguished from historical nostalgia. That's when somebody has a preference for objects that were common in the past. Nostalgic memories are related to interactions with other people. That is, they are social in nature. They typically involve significant life events that a person shared with significant others. Often the theme of nostalgic memories would be the triumph of an individual with the support of that person's community. Nostalgic memories are typified by positive affect, so a positive feeling, although they certainly can have negative feelings associated with them. In essence, nostalgia is bittersweet. Part of this may be because nostalgic memories are usually rose-colored. People remember the event more positively than it actually was. In a sense, nostalgia represents a distortion of the past. I talked before about how nostalgia was self-relevant. There are several self-relevant emotions, for example, self-compassion, pride, gratitude, inspiration, passion, unrequited love, guilt, hurt feelings, shame, and embarrassment. Research tells us that nostalgia is the most similar to self-compassion and pride, and the most dissimilar to embarrassment and shame. People who have a lot of nostalgia are said to have high nostalgia proneness, and they tend to gain protective elements with nostalgia proneness. So people who score high in this construct are better at dealing with thoughts of death. They're better at dealing with criticism. Specifically, when criticized, they don't tend to compensate with self-enhancement. So the tendency toward narcissism is reduced. Nostalgia appears to confer positive affect, optimism, and creativity as well. So what have I noticed about nostalgia in my clinical experience? So my experience providing counseling. And is there such a thing as pathological nostalgia? Many people have tragic relationships in their past, right? So sometimes when we see pathological nostalgia, we see kind of a distortion of nostalgia, which of course is a distortion of memory. We see that a person may be trying to love a good part of someone in their past. So if a person was mistreated by a parent or a sibling or a friend, they might try to think of the good part of that person and kind of dwell on that. So in a sense, it becomes a substitution for dealing with that pain, the pain caused by that relationship. It could also represent a substitution for mourning. So if somebody lost somebody close to them, they can overinvest in nostalgia and not deal with the feelings of grief. I've seen nostalgia used as a reason to stay stuck. So the person might say to themselves, things will never be as good as they were in the past. I would rather have the pleasure of reliving those memories than trying to create new ones. Sometimes I feel as though people actually use the good memories from nostalgia against themselves. So they might say, it was so good back then, there's no way I can match that. So in a sense, their nostalgic experience limits how high their motivation will get, right? So they're not really driven anymore. Again, kind of trapped in the past that now appears very good, when, like I said, it really wasn't necessarily that good.
Science! 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 Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes, yes! Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.
Hi, I'm Matt Harris. Seton Tucker and I host the podcast Impact of Influence, which for 2 years covered in depth Alec Murdoch, who was eventually convicted in 2023 of murdering his wife Maggie and son Paul. That story continues to evolve, and we will cover that. Plus, we will tell you stories of other true crime events that have happened in the South. Please join us on Impact of Influence and give us a follow on the Impact of Influence Facebook page.
In mental health treatment settings, nostalgia is markedly more negative, and it can be triggered by depression. So nostalgia, again, usually pleasant for most people, but in mental health settings, I've noticed it takes on kind of a darker, more pessimistic tone. Again, people are using the positive experience of nostalgia kind of against themselves. So the net result of the nostalgia is actually negative. I've seen situations where instead of focusing on a triumph, somebody will focus on a failure, almost like they are longing for a revision of history. So they might say, What if I was successful, right? Almost conflating nostalgia with regret or remorse. If I stay with the memory long enough, maybe I can change what happened, right? So it can become kind of unusual that it's placed on a failure instead of a victory. Instead of something that was ever positive, it's focusing on something that was always negative. As far as the self-relevant emotion of unrequited love, this is really a major theme of nostalgia in treatment settings. Feeling something is better than feeling nothing at all, right? So focusing on even that unpleasant memory can create like a sense of affection, right? Capturing the time when somebody was down because they can feel. They felt alive even though they were being hurt. And for many people, that's better than facing what's going on in the present, right? So that experience of pain is less painful than the current reality. So it seems kind of an unusual use of nostalgia, but I've seen it quite a few times. So what about narcissism and psychopathy? Is nostalgia different when filtered through these traits? I think what really stands out for me about psychopathy is how the nostalgia is not usually about the same types of events as we would see with somebody who is not psychopathic. Rather, nostalgia is about specific moments of pleasure, regardless of the presence or absence of social components. For example, being nostalgic about a time when one was intoxicated, being nostalgic about a time when the individual felt justified in using aggression, or when they successfully committed a theft, right? So they're really having nostalgic memories about antisocial events. Now, this experience really lines up with what we see in the literature about serial killers. They are often nostalgic about the murders they committed. When we see these interviews with them, when they're thinking about a specific murder, they're really bringing back what for them is a good feeling, right? They have it kind of twisted around. So essentially, there's a sadistic component there that they're tapping into. Now, with narcissism, nostalgia is tricky as well. With nostalgia, there's already a tendency to make events more positive than they really were, but the narcissist adds more fuel to that fire. So it can be hard to figure out what portion of the change from the original memory was caused by the nostalgia or the tendency toward narcissism. Just like we saw with psychopathy, with narcissism, we see a de-emphasis of the social construct of nostalgia and a pronounced self-centeredness. So the narcissist may experience nostalgia when thinking about a time when they obtained revenge on somebody who had hurt them, a time when they humiliated a coworker, or a time when a rival suffered a great defeat, right? So we see, again, kind of an antisocial sense in these nostalgic memories. They might also feel nostalgia about a triumph that was fraudulently obtained. If they cheated somebody in some contest in order to win, they would still feel nostalgic about that so-called victory. Their nostalgic memories are not tainted by personal responsibility, not tainted by guilt or shame. In a sense, the narcissist refines the positive slant that nostalgia already puts onto the memories into a perfect representation of success and greatness. So to sum this up with narcissism, when nostalgia is tainted by narcissism, the reason the memories are good are much different than they would be for a non-narcissist. The memories tend to involve domination, sadism, manipulating others, the failure of other people, and the unjustified celebration of the greatness of the narcissist. So now moving to the last question, what makes me nostalgic, right? So I don't know if I'm very similar to a lot of other people or quite different, but there's a few things I've noticed in my life that really, for me, kind of bring back nostalgic memories. One of the strongest events, I think, would be Christmas, right? The lights, the music, the ornaments, Christmas trees. Also, I think TV shows, like Christmas specials, like A Charlie Brown Christmas, when that comes on each year, I typically try to watch it. But either way, just knowing it's coming on, I kind of get that feeling of nostalgia, kind of remembering Christmases past, especially those when I was quite young. I think other items would be music from the 80s. Whatever reason, that type of music, when I hear a song from the 80s, it tends to, I think, be more likely to trigger a nostalgic memory. Many older movies, like when I'm scrolling through Netflix, if I see movies from the past, like from the 80s, and I think even somewhat from the 90s, sometimes that brings up some nostalgia. Another thing that leads to nostalgia for me, and I'm not sure a lot of other people experienced this. I'd be curious to see if other people do. I get nostalgic sometimes with snowstorms, right? So if there's a snowstorm occurring, I tend to kind of focus on that. I try to put other things I'm doing off to the side for a bit and enjoy like the scenery and just the feeling of it. I think maybe it comes from like when I was younger, if there's a snowstorm, school would be canceled. And I did okay in school, but I did not enjoy school, right? I always found it to be kind of stressful. So snowstorms would give me a break from school. So maybe that's why they're so nostalgic for me. Another weather-related event that causes nostalgia for me would be thunderstorms, right? So I really don't know if maybe when I was younger, a lot of good things happened to me during thunderstorms. I don't know what that is. I don't really necessarily have a specific memory that comes back when there's a thunderstorm, but there's just something I really like about them. And I often do think about various times in the past, like other thunderstorms that I've been in. I think one reason that the thunderstorms might be something that triggers nostalgia for me is really because that was a simpler time in general in life, right? So again, not tied to a specific event, but just the pace of life when I was younger in the 70s and the 80s. There wasn't this really need to be so motion oriented, you know, moving forward all the time, getting something done, being productive. It was just a more relaxed time in general. And of course, being younger, being a kid, I didn't have the same pressures on me that I would have today, right? So maybe thunderstorms are just really a longing for a simpler time. So maybe just a general sense of being younger. I don't know, but I really do like thunderstorms. I think I would like them without any nostalgia. And probably the same thing could be said for snowstorms too. Like, I think I just have an attraction to those constructs. I find them to be kind of awe-inspiring, kind of interesting, and a time for reflection, right? So if those type of things are happening, again, I try not to work as much. I try to spend some time kind of enjoying those moments. So for me, if it's Christmas time, it's snowing, there's 80s music on the radio, and I'm watching an old movie, I'm pretty much at a high risk to be triggered for some sort of nostalgic memory.
For more content like this, check out Healthy Toxic, another podcast from Ars Longa Media, all about what makes or breaks relationships, including issues related to narcissism, narcissistic abuse, and how personality disorders affect relationships. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis. Learn more at arslonga.media.
Welcome to the Bravery Academy. My name is Emma Ferris and I'm your host. This podcast is crafted to share the stories of courageous individuals who have overcome adversity and found the courage to live their best lives. We'll explore the science of well-being, courage and connection, and interview top thought leaders, game changers and survivors. It is from these stories that we learn what resilience is, how to heal, how to recover, and how to be brave.